didn't get too far. We were talking about pretty much, it says there in verse 1, the Lord is, and I said I couldn't get past the is this morning for a while. It took me a while. Because it is such a blessing to know who the Lord is. And after the service, Mrs. Mathewson and I was talking about that, and she said that it really means so much to her that Jesus, to her, is a friend. And it really, I thought about that a lot this afternoon, and that is so true. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend when you have no other friends. We, you know, we've had people say, I don't have any friends. Well, if you're saved, you have at least one. Amen. No, you've got three. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is your friend. And he's an amazing friend. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Some friends will leave you. I've had friends down through the years, and when I got serious for God, it was bye-bye, you know. Either I said goodbye to them or they said goodbye to me. You probably have had that happen too. But when you get saved, Jesus becomes a permanent fixture in your life. He is your friend forever. Isn't that a blessing? You can take all of your problems to Him. You can take all of your things that's going on in your life. You can talk to Him about that. And He's a friend that listens. And what a blessing that is. So, the Lord is. We kind of covered that. I've underlined that in my Bible, that little tiny word is. And we could talk for hours about what the Lord is to you. The thrust of this morning was, is He personal to you? Is He a personal God? Is He a God that you really love and care about and think about and read about and pray to? He needs to be a personal God. I think the more we make Him our personal God, the more we'll follow Him. The more we'll be obedient to Him, knowing that He's a personal God. You've got to understand one thing, too. Sometimes we forget this, that the Lord never leaves us. He's always with us. No matter what it is we're going through in life, He's always there. He thinks the way we think, or at least He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we say. He knows where we go. He knows what we do. He's there all the time. And what a comforting thought. One of these days, He's coming back for His own. And I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure that you are also. But we said this morning at the first point there in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd is very personal to us. We talked about the Oriental shepherd and how he tended to the sheep. I won't get into all of that, but how the shepherd always protected and always provided for the lambs, for the sheep. And at the end of the day, he'd lead the sheep back to the fold and he'd watch them as they came in one by one to see if there was any bumps or bruises or cuts or abrasions. And he would tend to that. He would take care of that sheep. He loved those sheep, and that's who our Lord and Savior is. The shepherd supplies all of the needs for the sheep. There's nothing a sheep has to go around worrying about. Sheep don't go out during the day and talk to one another and say, well, I wonder if the shepherd's going to take care of us today. Is he going to lead us to green pastures? Is he going to lead us beside the still waters? What is he going to do? You know, the sheep don't have to do that. They just follow the leader. We get all, you know, up in arms when things don't go our way and we don't have all the stuff going, you know, the way that we want it to go. And we get all nervous and we get worried and we get wondering how things are going to work out. If we just follow the shepherd, we don't have anything to worry about. And so that's the way that the shepherd is. I shall not want. There's no needs. We don't lack anything. Folks, you don't lack nothing. You don't lack nothing. Well, I don't have a nice house like so-and-so. You don't need a nice house like so-and-so. I don't have a nice car like, or a truck, or I don't have this, I don't have that. They have so much more than we have. God has blessed them. No. God has not blessed them more than He's blessed you. Please get that out of your brain. Just because somebody has a bunch of stuff, things, that does not mean that God loves them more or God has blessed them more. That's the way we, human beings in America, that's the way we think. That's not how God thinks and reacts. He blesses us as we follow Him and serve Him and obey Him. He's an amazing God. We said that this morning. Number two, we see in verse 2, I'll just read verse 2, we read it this morning so I won't do it again, but I will read verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's pray. Father, thank You again that we can gather together tonight. It's good to be in church. Thank You, Lord, for bringing these people here. We praise You and thank You, Lord, for the faithfulness of Your flock. Lord, this really is Your flock. It's not mine. Lord, You have just placed me here as an under-shepherd, but Lord, I am blessed with these sheep here tonight, And Lord, I'm thankful that I'm one of Your sheep. And Lord, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts and guide us tonight through the message, through this amazing, wonderful psalm. Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for inspiring David to write it. Lord, he was a shepherd, and he really got this information from his own experience. But Lord, you inspired him to write this, and this has been a blessing to countless millions and millions down through the years. Lord, thank you for it, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The second point of this is the shepherd's provisions. He provides for us. I know in the previous verse it says, I shall not want. That means there's no need. You don't have to worry about anything. I don't have any wants that I have to have. We have things and desires, but the shepherd really provides everything for us. When I see that little phrase, he maketh me to lie down. Do you know that the Lord even gives us the rest that we need?
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? A shepherd would never over... A shepherd, they don't drive their sheep anyway. They lead the sheep. A shepherd knows how far he can lead his sheep during the daytime without overexerting them. A shepherd would never take a flock out and run them for hours and hours. So they're passing out. You know, you can see all these sheep with their legs up in the air. Just passing out and dying. A shepherd wouldn't do that. The Lord's not going to do that for us. He's not going to cause you to do something that you can't do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, that's what Paul heard that come from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. So the Lord is he provides for us. He gives us even the rest that we need. He gives us the... Now, I know, we all get tired physically, don't we? We all get tired physically. We have maybe a rough day at work. We work hard. We do things. And we get tired. But it says there that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It says there he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, he stops the sheep and says, it's time to rest now. Lay down, sheep. It's like he does that with us. Hey, stop. Time out. Get some rest. Let's not overdo it. I really believe that we as Christians would never ever burn out if we just viewed our shepherd as a leader that's not going to take us too far. He's not going to make you do something, again, as I already said, he's not going to make you do something that you cannot do. He is going to provide everything for us and allow us to go in that direction or the whatever it is that he wants us to do. But he will cause us to get the rest. He's not going to run us into the ground. He's a shepherd that loves us and cares about it. He wants us to get the rest. But then he says, in green pastures. I like that little phrase, in green pastures. And we'll get into that here in a minute. But when you think about green pastures, you know, you think about that green grass growing, the green alfalfa growing, the green clover. You think about, that's exactly what a sheep or a cow, but we're talking about sheep, that's what they need. Sheep graze an average of 7 hours a day. Do you know that? I mean, that's what they... You ever watch sheep? They go out there, they're not doing anything, but, you know, got their little nose and mouth on the ground, and you're just eating all day long. That's what they do. Cows, you ever drive by a cow patch? That's what they're doing. They're just eating. I mean, that's their lot in life. It's to eat whatever is down there in the grass. And so these sheep, they graze an average of 7 hours a day, usually in the morning and in the early evening. And so that's when they like to graze. They mostly eat grass, clover, forbs, nutritious plants, and other pasture plants. But the shepherd always knows what's best for the sheep. So he leads them to green pastures. He's not going to lead a whole flock of, are they flocks? Flock of sheep out into a desert. He's not going to lead a whole bunch of sheep out to where there's no pasture. He's not going to lead them to a place where there's no green grass. Because a sheep, or many sheep, or cows, or whatever, animals need to graze on that. That's how they live. They get their nutrients from that. So a shepherd is always going to find the most greenest pastures out there. And he knows where they are. He's not going to take them to the same place all the time either, because when they eat all that green grass, he's not going to take them back there tomorrow because the grass is gone. He's going to lead them to another place. So he's always looking to provide for the sheep. The shepherd always knows what's best for the sheep, just like Jesus knows what's best for us. He leads us. Now, when I think about this, he leadeth me beside, or the he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I think of the green pastures of the nutrients, spiritual nutrients that we need as a Christian. And I get my spiritual nutrients from this book. My green pastures is the Word of God. He's not literally taking me out and throwing me in the field and says, okay, have at it and start eating. That's not what He's doing. He's talking about allowing me to get the rest that I need, but then He allows me to go and go to a green pasture. Not only just makes me to lie down in the green pasture, but He allows me to eat and get the nutrients that I need from the Scriptures. The Bible is our place where we get our spiritual nutrition. Right? I mean, this is where I get fed. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So this is where we get our nutrients, spiritual nutrients. This is where we get fed. We get fed spiritually from the Word of God. We all eat physically. I ate today, you ate something probably, but spiritually we need to chew on this every day. And so we need to, that's what we do. And the still waters, I think so often of the still waters as it kind of represents to me anyway, leadeth me beside the still waters. The Holy Spirit is likened to water in the Scripture. The Bible is too, but so is the Holy Spirit. And so it's like He leads me over here and the Holy Spirit is there, that nice still water, that brook, you know, is going along, or maybe a still river. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit calms us, comforts us, counsels us through the Word of God. That's where we get that from. We have to have that. We get the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit. Isn't He our teacher? Isn't He our guide as you read the Word of God? Don't you, when you read the Bible, don't you ask God for guidance? Don't you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you? Amen. You need to do that. And so that's where we get it. He leads me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and then He leadeth me beside the still waters. And so we have the Holy Spirit. And again, I love the word, He leads. He doesn't drive me. Amen. Cattle drivers drive. Yeah. A shepherd always leads his flock down to the right way. Leads his flock to the green pastures. Leads his flock over to the still waters, leads his flock in this direction or that direction. He doesn't drive us. God doesn't drive you and I. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive us. He doesn't get behind you and start shoving you in a direction. He gently leads us. That's the difference between a cattle driver and a shepherd. And I'm thankful that my God is a God that leads us. We are to be in the footsteps of Christ, following His footsteps, Peter says. How do you follow? You follow the leader. He's not pushing me anywhere. God is just pushing me into this. No, He doesn't push you into nothing. He leads you gently. He says, come follow me. What did He do with the disciples? He walked by a disciple and said, Matthew, come follow me, right? I'll make you fishers of men, or just come and follow me. What did they do? They got up and they followed Him. And He led them. And where they led Him, that's where they went. And so that's what our shepherd does. He just leads us. He's not going to force you or me to do nothing. I mean, He doesn't want to force us to do anything. He wants us to, hey, I'm here, Lord. What do you want me to do? I've been waiting for you to volunteer. Come on. I got some things for you to do. Where are we going, Lord? Don't worry about it. Just follow me. I'll take you right where you got to go, and I'll lead you right where you what you got to do. And don't worry. I'm with you all the time. I'm your shepherd. Don't forget now. I'm going to make sure that you're tended to. I'm going to make sure you got your food and all the other stuff. Don't worry about a thing. Just come and follow me. He's not going to push me. He doesn't drive us. He doesn't push us into something. Some people have a weird attitude towards God, that He shoves us and He pushes us and He makes us do these things. No, He wants volunteers. He wants people to offer. He wants us to yield to Him. This mentality today that people won't volunteer for nothing. Well, you're not going to volunteer then for God's service at all with that kind of an attitude, because with that mentality, how can God use you if you're not willing to be used, if you're not willing to follow God? And so He certainly, that's what He does. He provides. Number 3, verse 3. I love this verse. It says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I see the shepherd's patience here in verse 3. The shepherd's patience. What does He do? He restores. And not only restores, but He revives. You ever need a revival? Maybe tonight you need a revival. Maybe we all need a revival tonight. But He restores us. Right? He restoreth my soul. Those are sweet words to a sheep that is following a shepherd because he has that patience. A shepherd has an amazing patience with his sheep. They say that sheep are dumb. They'll wander off and do all kinds of weird things. I don't know. I've never led a bunch of sheep except for you all. But you know what I'm saying. I'm saying regular four-legged sheep. But a shepherd needs patience with their sheep. Just like a pastor needs patience with the people of the church. Some, as I said, not long ago, some grow by leaps and bounds, and some just, slowly grow a little bit here and then stop. And others are, like climbing the wall, growing. It's like everybody is different. We have to have patience. You and I have to have patience. You have to have patience if you're teaching a Sunday school class. If you're working in any kind of a ministry, you have to have patience. Not everybody is going to leap when you say leap or jump. People grow in different ways all the time. But so does it when it says, He restoreth my soul. Don't ever sit there and think that your soul doesn't need to be restored periodically. Because my soul needs restoring. My soul needs to be revived on a regular basis. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Psalm 51 verse 10, this, of course, what Psalm 51 is. It's the psalm that David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. My little introduction there of this, it says a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him. Remember, Nathan came and really, really rebuked him. Went up one side and down the other. And David humbled himself and admitted what he had done. David had the power to have Nathan taken out and beheaded instantly. He could have had Nathan killed immediately. He had the right to do that. He was the king. And yet, when Nathan came and rebuked him and told him about what his sin was, David had no problem going to God and admitting the fact that he had sinned. You know what's amazing? You know how I know that this Bible is inspired? You or I would never have written Psalm 51. No way. I wouldn't write Psalm 51. I wouldn't write anything bad about me. And you wouldn't write anything bad about you either. Don't sit there and say, I don't remember. No, you wouldn't. Amen. We don't like to go out there and brag about the bad things we've done. We don't like to tell everybody how bad we are. We usually go around and tell everybody how good we are. But David wrote this psalm begging for God's forgiveness because of his sin. Down in verse 10 it says, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know how I know that he was humbled is because he's admitting that he doesn't have a right spirit within him. He's admitting that he had to have his heart cleaned up. His heart was dirty with this whole thing. Amen? I mean, it was literally dirty from what he did. And he was asking God to create in him a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within me because he had a bad spirit within him. I'm not saying he had a devil within him. He had a bad spirit. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And so he was asking for renewal. He was asking for restoration. You and I need to go to God on a regular basis and say and pray the same thing. Okay, you didn't go out and do what David did, but you have other sins. We all have other sins in our life. And so we need restoration. We need revival. Look at Psalm 85 and verse 6. Psalm 85, 6. 85, 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? We need revival, folks. I need revival. I don't know about you. I was going to say you and I. No, I don't know about you. I really don't know about you. I know that I need revival. You might need revival. I don't know where you stand. I don't know where your revival barometer is tonight. I have no idea. But many of us need revival. This church needs revival. This country needs revival. This state needs revival. Go back to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra 9. Ezra chapter 9. Look at verse 8. Ezra 9:8. Ezra chapter 9, look at verse 8. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. What a blessing that Ezra was realizing that God has given them a little space, a little revival space, a little reviving, a little restoration within the Jewish nation, where they can go back and restore and rebuild the temple and rebuild the wall. And he said, God has given us this grace. God's given us the ability to do that. Boy, I hope and pray that God gives this country some grace. Because we're in a heap of trouble. And we're drifting further and further away all the time, every single day, it seems like. And I hope and pray that God brings about a revival to this land. It's something that, don't sit there and say that God can't do it, because He can do it. Amen. Don't have the attitude, nah, we're too far gone. No, no, no. God can do anything that He wants to do. Right. And He can use anybody that He wants to use if we're willing to be used. Amen. And then we see, go back to our text, we see that He leads in the paths of righteousness. What is God's will for your life and my life? To live a righteous life. Amen? Just to be righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? To live right. Think right. Talk right. Do right. We're to always strive to live a righteous life. And so He leads in the paths of righteousness. I like that when it says that He leadeth me. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Did you notice again that He's leading? He's not shoving you down a path of righteousness. He's not pushing you and forcing you and driving you. What's He doing? He's leading. Right? Come on. Come follow me. I'm going to walk in righteousness. I want you to follow me. I want you to walk in righteousness too. And so again, if the Lord is right here and we're following Him, we're going to live a righteous life. But if we allow the Lord to get 2 steps, 3 steps, 10 steps, 50 steps, half a mile, 10 miles down the road, you're going to drift, folks. You're going to drift over here. You're going to drift over here. You're going to say, yeah, He's down there somewhere. I don't see Him anymore. There's a path down there, but I don't know where the Lord is. No, if we stay really close, if we just continue to follow the leader, you ever play that game, follow the leader? We've all done that. Let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Down, He leadeth me in the paths. There's a path that we need to be on. It's narrow, and He lights our path so we can follow and stay on that path, and that path is a path of righteousness. And then what does it say? For His name's sake.
Amen.
Remember, we're a walking testimony of Jesus Christ. Walking testimony. You go to work, you're a walking testimony. If they know anything about you, they know that you're a Christian. Right? And so how you act, your attitude around other people, somebody once said it, I don't know who said it, but you could be the only Bible that anybody ever sees or reads. It could be you. You could be the only Bible that anybody would ever see. You could be the only mouthpiece, the only witness of somebody. They'll never hear maybe another witness from anybody else. You might be the only one. And so what kind of a name are we bringing to for His name's sake? He leads us down the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. How important is that? Look at Psalm, go back to Psalm 5 and verse 8. Psalm 5 and verse 8. Psalm 5, 8. Psalm 5, 8. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. How important is the name of Jesus Christ today? There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there is no name greater in the universe than the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And He says that, and there's no more powerful name in the universe than Jesus, the name Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that He says to you and me, come follow me? I want you to walk down this path with me. But again, He's not going to force you. Not going to force you. He says, come. I'm going. You want to go with me? Whose choice is it to go? It's your choice, my choice. I can choose not to go. And it's sad that so many Christians today are choosing not to follow the Lord. The Lord is trying to lead. The Lord wants them to follow down that path. And they're on their own broad road that leads to destruction. They're on their own path. Well, I like the path that I'm on. All right, you go ahead. Follow that path. See what it's going to take. See where it's going to take you. See what it's going to do for you. Hey, how's that path working out for you? You know, after a while, when they're just not following the Lord anymore and they're not serving God anymore, how's that working out? We need to follow the Lord on the paths of His righteousness for His name's sake. Boy, aren't you glad the shepherd is patient with you and me? I'm amazed that He's kept me saved this long. I thank God for eternal security. Amen. I would have lost it a long time ago. Yeah. And you would have too, probably. I'm so glad He's patient with me. There's been times in my life, and there's probably been times in your life, the Lord said, come on, and you said no. You sat down like a little three-year-old and threw a temper tantrum and says, I'm going to do it my way. And the Lord says, hey, fine, you go ahead. Go ahead. Do it your way. I'll check back with you in a little while. And off you went. You did it your way. And you know exactly where that got you and what that did for you. But aren't you glad He's patient? Yeah, when you do sit down and throw this little tantrum of yours or mine, or we say that, no, we're not going to do it God's way, we're going to do it my way, aren't you glad that when you are ready to get back on the path of righteousness, He's right there to say, I'm right here for you. Come follow me. Lord, I thought you left me. I never left you. You left me. This has been the same path the whole time. I'm right here. Come on. Let's go. And boy, you can jump on that path and you can follow the Lord. Just don't let Him get too far ahead, or don't you linger back too far. You stay as close. You stay near to God, and the devil won't even be able to get in between you. The closer you are to the Lord, the less the devil's going to have a play in your life. But we let that space get between us and God, and boy, I'll tell you, the devil takes advantage of that every time. He zooms right in. You ever follow somebody on a trip and you don't want to lose them? But boy, you know, you let a little space get there, and then pew, somebody pulls right up. And then you start losing them, and somebody else pulls in. It's kind of like what the devil does. We allow too much space between me and God, and the devil's going to move right in. And no telling what he's going to do. The shepherd's patience in verse 3. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Here we see the shepherd's protection. You know the shadows always follow us? Yeah. You ever notice that? Yeah. A shadow, your shadow, goes wherever you go. You're never without a shadow. It's your shadow. Did you ever look at your shadow? Yeah. Of course you've done. You know, on a sunny day, you're walking out and, hey, there's me right there. Boy, it looks just like me. It's the outline of me. That's what I look like. No hair. See the glasses even hanging on the face? You know, there's a shadow there that you can see, and you know that shadow resembles you. There's tall shadows and there's short shadows. There's tall and thin shadows, and there's, never mind. But there's all different kinds of shapes of shadows out there. And a shadow follows us everywhere we go. Now it says in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, it also follows us around everywhere we go. Death. Death. Sorry, folks, but it does follow you everywhere you go. Do you know how fragile your life is? We sometimes think we are invincible. That nothing can happen to me. Look at me. Look at my health. Look at how good of a driver I am. Look at all the things that I've done in life. You are just as fragile as anybody else is. Our life could be snuffed out just like that at any moment of any day, any time, anywhere. We hear about it. We see it constantly. Our life, thank God that God has kept us all in here alive for the amount of time that you've been alive. Thank God for that. But you have a shadow that follows you. It's called the shadow of death. That's why it's so important to make sure that you are prepared to die in the event of, whenever that's could take place. James 4:14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." That's what our life is like. It's here for a small amount of time. It might be 65 years. It might be 85 years. It might be 102 years. Would you say somebody lived 102. So Mary's expecting to live to at least 102 years old. And so we could, but you know, like we said this morning, Emily's manager, 42 years old, stroke, gone. We just don't know. You have no clue. It's that shadow of death that kind of follows us wherever we go. Go over to Job. Job in chapter 7. Job 7. Look at verse 6. 6 and 7. Job 7, 6 and 7. Job 7, 6 and 7. Job chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall see no more. Mine eye shall no more see good. Look at chapter 9. Just turn over a couple pages. Chapter 9 and verse 25. "Now my days are swifter than a post." You know what a post was, right? A message deliverer. Or it's where we get our post office name from. Post, you know, postman, postwoman, whatever you call them nowadays. I know they're changing everything. Now there's no more manhole covers. Now they're maintenance covers. It's weird. You got to get rid of the man. So I don't know what a postman. I don't know. To me, they're still a postman. Fireman. Policeman. That's all right. Keep the genders the way they are. Amen. "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." Look at chapter 14, Job. Look at verses 1 and 2. Job 14, 1 and 2. "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." Psalm 39 and verse 5, it says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Selah. It's like a handbreadth. Here's a handbreadth from the little finger to the tip of the thumb. That's a handbreadth. He says, our life is like that compared to God's. It's nothing. It's just a little tiny speck in the universe. Is what we are. Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 47. "Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?" Folks, our time can be very, very short upon this earth. Now, I'm hoping for a long, healthy life. I'm hoping for a long life, I guess. Nobody wishes they would die young, as far as I know. But we just don't know. I ran into a man today at Walmart, somebody that we know. He's got esophagus cancer, stage 4. And he's only had an initial test. He says he's taken one day at a time. I says, well, you know where I am. You know where our church is. If you need to call me, if you need to talk, I'd be glad to try to talk to you, try to help you. I don't know how old he is. You know how old he is, dear? He's younger than me. 50-something, 55 or so. Sad. There's somebody like that, and his wife was standing right there, and she said it's a very aggressive form of cancer. He doesn't know how long he's got. He had a good attitude today. I would hope and pray. He claims to be saved. I don't know. He's not been in church for quite a while, but I told him, hey, we'll be praying for him. I'm going to get his name on our prayer list here. Hopefully this week I'll get his name on the prayer list. But folks, we just don't know. You could feel great today and go to see the doctor tomorrow and, you know, get the worst news of your life. You could be driving. You could be sitting. How many? I've heard of a missionary in Africa was sitting in Africa, all of a sudden sitting there in his chair and had a heart attack and died just like that. His wife, his family had to come back, of course, to the States. Our missionary, Mike Robinson, 6 months, lung cancer, a missionary getting lung cancer. He didn't even smoke. Missionary to Bolivia. And 56 years old. We just don't know. See, it's, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But then it says, I will fear no evil. Not a blessing to know, being a Christian, being saved, we don't really have anything to worry about. You know, if the Lord decided to take me home tonight, I'd not be worried about it. If the Lord, listen, if I get cancer, if I get, you know, whatever, I'm not worried about it. Because God will take care of me. And God will take care of you also. That's when He said, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that comforting? Why? Why don't we have to fear any evil? Because He's with us. Our shepherd is walking with us. He is leading us. He's caring for us. Even if something happens in our life, He still cares about you and I. It's not that He's you know, left you and He doesn't care about you. He loves us all the time. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We talked a little bit about that this morning. What's that rod for? Well, the rod was a short stick or a club used for protection, but also correction. That's what the rod was for. To either protect the sheep or correct the sheep. Boom. You know, break the leg if need be. You got a sheep that keeps wandering. The shepherd would go over and take that club and just, you know, smack that foot, smack that leg. So that sheep could not wander anymore. But then he'd splint it. He'd bandage it. He'd pick that sheep up, put it on his shoulder. And as we said this morning, he'd talk. And are you going to do that again? Nope, not going to do that again. Always making sure that the sheep understood, you're not going to do that again. Not going to do that again. But that's what that club was for. And the staff was a long type of a stick with a crook on it. And that was used for guidance. It would guide the sheep along. He would just use that staff to kind of guide them. If they were just starting to get out of position, he would just kind of tap them along and he'd move them along. What a blessing that is. That's the way our God is. Isn't that a blessing? That's what God does. Sometimes He has to take the club to us. Other times He just uses the staff, just pushes us back. Come on, get over here. It's good to be an obedient sheep and says, okay, Lord, I don't want the club. You know, I don't want the broken bone. I just want to. But unfortunately, there are people that get the broken bones. Now, number five, let me move this along. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Number 5 is the shepherd's preparations. The shepherd's preparations. There's a table there. You know what that table represents to me? Again, all of our needs are met. Boy, I'll tell you, when the Lord prepares a table, it is the best spread you can ever experience. He doesn't leave anything off the table. He gives us everything that we need. He prepares the table. He does the preparation work. He does all of the preparation work for us. Thank God we don't even have to prepare. He does the preparation. Isn't it good to know that He's prepared a place for us in heaven? Prepared a home, a mansion, a place that we can go to someday when we leave this earth. God has a place, a special place for all of us. He's prepared this table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Look around, folks. There's enemies all around us. And He's got this table prepared even in the presence of enemies. We can still go to God. We can still sit down at His table. And we can still enjoy the nutritious meal from the Word of God. Even when there's enemies around us. How many people have we known down through the years that got saved in prison and just lived for God in prison? Believe me, they had enemies all around them. But they could still sit down with a prepared table of God and be able to feast on the Word of God and enjoy that time with the Lord.
Amen.
And so then we have the anointing. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's again another, I think, a representation of the Holy Spirit. And how He loves us and how He anoints our head with oil. And then He says, my cup runs over. Boy, He gives us all the abundance that we need. Just, hey, the cup is running over, folks. You don't have to walk around with an empty cup. He can fill it at all times if you just want Him to fill it. It's sad there's a lot of Christians running on empty tonight. They're going to chug down to the gas station and barely make it there. I'm talking spiritually now. Some Christians barely chug in here once a week or every other week or maybe once a month. They chug in here. They're barely running on spiritual fumes. And they get in here and they get maybe a half a tank of spiritual gas. Maybe not even that. And off they go again until they feel that their tank is almost empty and then they come back in. Well, when I travel, I don't like to let my gas tank get below a half a tank. I start looking for a gas station to make sure that I fill that thing up even when I'm traveling on the road. When we were coming back from Florida, those big trucks, they got down around a half a tank. Guess what we were looking for? We're looking for a gas station. Because I don't know how fast it's going to go from half down to empty. And we don't want to run out of gas with one of those things. That's just me. I have to do that. Some of you like to run on fumes. Run that thing right down to E. And then pray that God said, I just let you go by a gas station just back there a few miles. What'd you go buy it for, dummy? He'll let you run out of gas. Teach you a lesson. But He gives us the abundance that we need. Go to John chapter 10. John 10. John chapter 10. Again, I wish I had time tonight to just go through John chapter 10. Maybe we will here soon. A great chapter on the shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Oh, he's a shepherd. He is safety. He is so many things. He's shelter. And he's an amazing God. In John chapter 10, verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's that nourishment again. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or what? Think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Where is He to get the glory tonight, according to that verse 21? Where does He get the glory? Where is He to get glory? In the church. Where do we belong Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? In the church. Why? Because that's where His glory is.
Amen.
He wants us to get His glory by being in the house of God. Unto Him be glory in the church. When we come to church, we're to bring honor and glory to Him. Not to us, but to Him. It's all about Him, folks. It's not all about you and me. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, we have the preparations of the shepherd. Lastly, we'll go back to our text in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have the shepherd's presence forever. The shepherd's presence forever. We will always be with our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that comforting to know? We'll always be with Him. You can't get away from your shepherd. If you're one of His sheep, you can't get away. You can drift away for a while, but He's going to bring you back. He's going to get the club out. He's going to get the staff out. He's going to do something to get you back. But we're going to spend eternity with Him. I can't even think about it. I can't imagine that. that we're going to always be with our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Boy, when the chief shepherd appears, we're going to be with him.
Amen.
What a blessing that is. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life."
Amen.
So listen, here's how it works. As I follow the Lord, what's following me? Now this is not a trick. Look at verse 6. As I follow the Lord, what is following me? Surely goodness and what?
Mercy.
So as I'm, but I got to be following the Lord in order for surely, you know, surely is going to be following me. That was my mother's name. But now, surely goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. When I follow the Lord, goodness is trailing. And mercy is coming right behind. But I got to be following the Lord to get goodness and mercy. That's what you got to do. If you're not following the Lord, there's no goodness and mercy in your life. You get that goodness and mercy when you follow the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What an amazing psalm this was. Or is, I should say. Not was. What an amazing psalm this is. Boy, it's such an uplifting, to me, it's an uplifting psalm. It's a blessing to know that the Lord has done all this for us as our shepherd. Boy, I hope you love Him tonight. And I hope, again, as I said this morning, I hope He's personal to you. I hope He's not just some force out there. Let the force be with us. You know, no, that's not our Lord and Savior. Our Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He died personally for you. He wants you to follow Him. He wants to be that guide, that leader, that shepherd. And as you follow the Lord, goodness and mercy is going to be following you. You got to be following Him, folks. It's not, I'll go out and do my own thing and go my own way and I'll see you, Lord, when I get to heaven. That's not what a sheep does. A sheep wants to be with the shepherd. A sheep wants to be in the flock with the other sheep. Boy, if you have people that don't have any desire to be in church, there's something wrong there to me. When people don't want to be around other Christians and fellowship with other Christians and just be in the midst of other Christians, there's something wrong there. Something spiritually wrong. I hope and pray that you have the desire that the Lord wants you to have as far as being a sheep. You're just a sheep. Understand, we're just sheep. As dumb as we might be, we're just sheep. But thank God for our shepherd. Father, thank You again for the blessings You've given to us. Thank You, Lord, for being our shepherd. Thank You, Lord, for being our leader. I pray that we as Christians would just want to follow You, Lord. I'm so glad and thankful that the last verse of this psalm says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise.